Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you on your radio. This is Watchmen on the Wall. End Time Global Link Ministry. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that was, the one that is, and the one to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father. So glad to be with you this evening. Amen. We're going to break the word of life. Amen. To let you know, amen, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is coming back again. Yes, indeed. I promise you that. Amen. I mean, I know it's been a good while. It's been 2,000 years, but 2,000 years is 2 days to God, so... And 2 days to God is 2,000 years. So time is no problem with God because he is eternity. And God's time is different from our time. Amen. He's an everlasting God. And time is only a time of a space between two eternities. And I'm here to tell you tonight. Amen. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Time is winding up. I'm telling you, it's winding up so fast. Don't you realize 2020? Is almost over. We only got about 2 months, 3 months, and we'll be in 2023. It's going to be a big year in 2023 because 2022, woo, it was dynamite. Amen. We had a thought, amen, we were getting ready for the rapture to happen this September. Amen. And the Bible said, no man know the hour, day or time, but you can know the seasons. And the season is September. It's harvest month. And it looks like we're going to go another year. Praise God. Anyway, I can preach another 12 months. Amen. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And give you a warning. Give you a good, about, well, I'll say about 15 months of warning. Because I'm going to try to be on much as I can. Amen. To let you know one thing about it. Is your soul right with God? Is your soul right? That's all I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about your soul. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you know him in the pardon of your sins? Do you know him through his shed blood that he suffered and died on Calvary's cross? Do you know that he loves you so much that God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life? Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your once and wonderful love that you have for us. We thank you for sparing us another day, another hour, another minute, another second. You woke us up this morning in our right mind. Have activities of our limb. We just thank you for all the goodness that you have bestowed upon us. And, Lord, we ask you right now, let us break the word of truth from your word, not what we think and not what we guessing at, not what we suspect, but what your word said is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word abides forever. In Jesus' name we pray. It's the church, say amen. Everybody out there listening to me, amen. Not what I got to say, but what the word of God has to say. And what God is telling me tonight, amen, that he is on his way. Amen. It's just a matter of time. Amen. The church will be gone from this planet. I thank God, amen, for him giving me the opportunity to preach his word this afternoon. Amen. We're going to be coming out of Proverbs. Amen. We're going to be coming out of Proverbs. And Solomon, amen, a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge, a man that tried God, a man that tried everything in the world. He tried everything in the world to see what could satisfy his soul. What can satisfy your soul? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Can satisfy your soul. Nothing else. No woman can't satisfy. No drugs can't satisfy. Money can't satisfy. Nothing in this world can satisfy your soul but the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. He dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost, went down into the bowels of hell. Oh, yes, there's a hell. Oh, yes, there's a hell. There's a place of eternal torment prepared for the devil and his angels. His angels are destined to go to hell. No repenting, no redemption, no regeneration, nothing. Satan and all his cohorts, all his wicked demons and spirits and fallen angels are bound to go to hell. There's no turning back. And since man has submitted himself into following Satan, then those that won't accept Jesus Christ, will not accept Jesus Christ, ain't thinking about accept Jesus Christ, ain't giving anything about it. They're just saying, I'm going to live the way I want to live. I don't want nobody intruding on my life, especially Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, you made a bad mistake. The worst mistake you can make on this planet, because your little soul is going to take flight one day. Your body's going to go back to the dust of the ground. Woo, but your soul going to take a flight one day. And that flight going to be either two or one place. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And the only way you can go to hell, the only way you can go to hell is for you to reject the forgiveness and the cleansing and the washing and the regeneration and the shed blood of Jesus Christ to come into your life by faith and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. In other words, baptism with the Holy Ghost means that you submit your soul to Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And if you repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Repentance means to have a broken, contrite spirit for sinning against a holy God, and you are sorry for your sins, you are turning from your sins, you reject your sins, you hate your sins, and you accept Jesus Christ and his righteousness through his blood to come into your life and save your soul, because you only got one. If you let your soul be lost and die without Christ, I guarantee you, through the word of God, I guarantee, not what I'm saying, I ain't guarantee you nothing, because I ain't got no heaven and I ain't got no hell to put you in. But I'm telling you now, if you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and do not submit yourself and commit him into your life and turn from your wickedness, turn from your sins, the Bible says, whoever confesses the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whoever confessing with their mouth and believing with their heart, he can be saved right now. And Solomon tells us all through the book of Ecclesiastes, and he tells us in the book of Proverbs, ain't nothing in this world can satisfy your soul. Your soul is eternal. And there's a time coming when you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You got to die. Every human being, if the rapture don't occur before I die, I'm going to have to die. But if the rapture comes before I die, I'll never see death, because Christ is going to transform me from this old body, amen, through my salvation, through my redemption, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to change his mortal body and give me an immortality body, and I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But I have to make a decision right now which way I want to go. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made the way that I can go to heaven. Through what? The cross. The cross of Christ. The only cross. There's double cross, there's blue cross, there's red cross. But the only cross, listen to what I got to say, the only cross that can get you on the other side of a joyous place where there won't be no more crying, no more dying, no more killing, no more murder, and we'll live with Christ forever. But before that happened, we realized that the church is going to be removed, and then there's going to be a seven-year tribulation. In this tribulation will be Israel will be the main culprit to be judged. And through Israel, Gentiles will be saved during the tribulation period. 7 years, God is going to hand this old world over to Satan. You say, all right, Lucifer, the devil, Beelzebub, the old red dragon, Apollyon, you got 7 years to do your dirty work. I'm not giving you permission, but man wants to make a decision. It's up to man to make the decision. And I'm going to let you come forth and bring your circus clown, bring all your clowns, bring all your false prophets, bring all your lying church folks, bring them all. Bring them all. I'm going to give them an opportunity to make a choice. And this choice will dwell for 7 years. And I'm going to send somebody down here. Woo! Who are you going to send? I'm going to send 144,000, and I'm going to send Moses and Elijah before that great and notable day. And I'm going to do that within the next few years. I'm going to do that in the next few years because definitely Jesus Christ is coming again. In the book of Proverbs, we will read in the 6th chapter of Proverbs, the 15th verse, down to the 20th verse. The wisdom of Solomon writes these words. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. 6 things does the Lord hate. There's 6 things the Lord hates. This is what God hates. He hated. He hated with a passion because he's an all-righteous God, and he can't bear iniquity and sin and degradation. Now, here's one what he hated. He said, 6 things the Lord does hate? Yes. 7 are abomination unto him. Number one, this is the number one thing God hates, a proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. Now, you want to know where innocent blood is? We're going to come back to that. He says, an heart that devise wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brothers. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. 6 things the Lord hates. And if he hates it, he's going to get rid of it. Number one, a proud look. Pride can cause destruction. And the pride that our American people, I'm talking about America, I ain't talking about the church, because we know there's a lot of church folks walking in pride. A lot of preachers walking in pride. A lot of so-called Christians walking in pride. Well, God hates pride. He can't stand pride because pride puts you above mankind. If you think you so much, you think you so important, you think you so great, you so educated, you have a tendency to have a prideful heart. Well, God hates it. And if it's in your heart, he hates what's in your heart. He don't hate you. He don't hate you. He hates the pride that's in your heart. And if you got pride in your heart, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart, if you have that kind of self-sufficient that you don't need God and you look above God and you try to tell God what to do and you think you somebody, that's pride. And God said, I hate it. And if you don't humble yourself and repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways, I guarantee you without the regeneration and the new birth and the redemption power through the blood of Jesus Christ, you die in pride, you will lift up your eyes in hell because pride will never enter the kingdom of God. It will never see God. It will never bond with God. It will never walk alongside with God because pride comes from what? Pride comes from the devil. The devil is the cause of pride. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying pride is one of the most devastating things that people can have. And this pride I'm talking about, you can find it started in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, we're going to show you what pride started. Pride started in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Let's get that real quick. Amen. I know I read it before. I'm going to read it again. Listen to what it says. In the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. This is the word of God. This is not Brother Bazaar. This is the word of God. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? This is what pride brings. It says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'm going to take over heaven. I'm going to rule God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the ashes of the pit. This is the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And this is where Satan, this is where Lucifer was a created cherubim. By him being a created cherubim, he was known for his beauty. He was known for his beauty. He was known for his extravagant musical talent that he had. He was the leader. He was the leader. He was the number one director of the heavenly choir angels. He gave the angels the permission to praise God. Lucifer, that was his name in heaven. It wasn't the devil. It was Lucifer that became the devil, diabolical. By his self-exaltation, he lifted himself up above, tried to lift himself up above God and take over the throne of God. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. This is what Lucifer made his mistake. And he made his mistake when he tried to overthrow God Almighty. That's what he tried to do over his pride. His pride got next to him. His pride got so next to him that he figured that he could talk all the angels in heaven to follow his rebellion because he wanted the main position. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to do the things of God. But he couldn't do it because, number one, God created Lucifer. God spoke him into existence. God gave him the most beautiful look that creation ever thought of. He was a gorgeous angel. And by him being so gorgeous, his pride got next to him. And guess what? He thought that he could get every angel in heaven to follow him to overthrow God. And he only got one third of the angelic beings in heaven to follow him. I want you to follow me now, because we're talking about pride. We're talking about how this pride has invaded the earth. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, pride entered into civilization. Pride entered into the human family. Pride got next to every human being on this planet. And by being so proudful, God said, I resist the proud and give base to the humble. And he said, I hate pride. I hate for anybody to be proud. And by him being proud, Satan walked through the corridors of heaven. Yes, he did. And he started the war that caused him to fall from heaven. He actually tried to walk up in God's chest. walk up all up in his face and tell him, I'm going to overthrow you now. I'm going to damn you forever. That's what Satan said. That's what he had in his mind, to damn God. But he couldn't damn God because God created him. And he said, well, if I can't get the whole host of heaven, I'm going to get one-third of the fallen angels fell from heaven to earth. Well, what did Satan look like when before he fell? Let's see what Satan looked like. Amen. Let me go into a slow study tonight. What did Satan look like before he fell? Let's see what he looked like. The 28th chapter of Ezekiel. The 28th chapter of Ezekiel. We will find exactly what Lucifer or the anointed cherubim looked like. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, listen to what Ezekiel 28 and 12 says. Son of man, take up a lamentation in the king of Tyrus and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is what he's saying now. He's talking this to a man that was the king of Tyrus. He's talking to Lucifer through the king of Tyrus. And he speaks to the king of Tyrus, referring to Lucifer. He says, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. He was full of wisdom. He was full of wisdom to the top of his head, to the bottom of his feet. And perfect in beauty. Perfect beauty. Now, you ain't never had nobody said they had perfect beauty. But here is an angelic cherubim that had perfect beauty, because when God made him, he made him perfect, beautiful. Thou hast been in the Eden of Garden of God. Every precious stone was upon the covering. Here's your covering. These are all the jewels and diamonds and pearls that you was covered with. You was covered with sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, ox, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of thy tarbets and thy pipes. He was a music man. Pipes and the workmanship of thy tarbets and of thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou was created. Woo! That's powerful. This cherubim, this unique cherubim, was covered with every jewel, every fine diamonds and rubies and pearls. He had pipes in him. He knew all about music. He knew how to direct the choir. He knew how to sing. He knew how to lift up the praises to the angels and give God the praises. That's what he looked like. He was gorgeous. You could take all the women of the world today from the time of Adam and Eve and put them together. They never will come to the equals of the beauty that Lucifer had. And you talk about beautiful women today, but let me tell you, these women today, none of them ain't got the beauty that Lucifer had before he fell. Listen what he got. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so that thou was up on the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. But when he was in heaven, that's where he was created at. He was created in heaven, and when he was created, he had the power to walk over the fires and the stones and the holiness of God, walking through all the jewels and diamonds. He was gorgeous. He would put every city out of light. He would uniquely make the cities of the world look like a junkyard. Listen what it says. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was up on the holy mountain of God, Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the day, in thy ways, from the day that thou was created until, or till iniquity. Iniquity was found in thee. What was the iniquity? What was the what did Satan do? Pride, beauty got next to him, and he uplifted himself. He exalted himself. He told God, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, sucker. I'm going to get on that throne, and I'm going to rule the universe. I am going to rule everything that you created. And the fool, he was a fool and believing he could overthrow the one that created him. And the devil today, ooh, Lucifer today, is what? He's the same way, because they got a religious group called the Luciferians. The Luciferians, a demonic organization that worships Satan. And Satan got people today under the influence of the Luciferians, or the Illuminati, an angel of light, of enlightenment. Listen to me now. 14th verse, thou art the anointed cherub. Cover thou will set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in the way from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. They said, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Uh-oh. What happened? When Lucifer was rejected by God Almighty, he tried to rebel against God Almighty. God rejected him and dethroned him and cast him out of heaven. Did you hear what I said? He cast him out of heaven. He no longer is in the presence of God. He is now the prince power of the air. He is now in first and second heaven. He is now in control of humanity on this earth. Oh, don't get me wrong. God is in control. But there's one thing God has a problem with. God wants to control man. God wants man to praise him. God wants man to praise him, love him, cherish him, obey him. God wants that. But man says, I don't want to obey God. Satan says, you don't have to obey God. Satan says, there is no God. Satan says, we come with a big bang theory. Satan says, anything to try to delete the God Almighty of heaven and earth and the seas and the fishes and the animals, he is trying to get the world to say, there is no God. You don't have to receive salvation. Christ didn't die. Christ is not the Son of God. Christ is not the one that came down here and died. Satan don't want nothing to do with God, but he's turning man away from God, and man don't want to come to God because man says, I want to do my own thing. Satan says, do your own thing. God is not going to do nothing to you. Satan tell you God is love. Yes, he is love. God is so much love that you can't even bear to take it. He loves you so much, he is willing to do everything he can the right way and let you become in likeness like he can. And hear what he said. He said, the multitude of thy merchandise have filled with the midst of thee with violence. So what happened? Lucifer became violent. Wicked spirits became violent. Violence comes from the word vow. Vow. And the devil is vow. And when the devil gets through with you, Lucifer gets through with you, Beelzebub gets through with you, he becomes violent. And the world today is filled with violence. Violence everywhere. Violence in the churches. Violence on the street, violence in the beer joint, violence in the whorehouse, violence in the drug house, violence everywhere, violence on the battlefield. people killing, murdering, raping, doing everything. Violence comes from Lucifer. He's vile. He's a sick cherubim that God has dethroned him from every presence of God Almighty. He don't need him, but God is going to use him. He's going to use him between good and evil. And he's going to give man an opportunity to choose righteousness or to choose unrighteousness. And the world today is choosing unrighteousness before they choose righteousness and say, God said, I'm going to give you a free will. Your free will. Choose you this day. And whom you going to serve? Joshua said that. Joshua said, for as me and my household, I am going to serve the Lord. How many people today are choosing Christ? How many people are giving their life to Christ? How many people are bowing down on their knees and repenting of their sins and asking, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life because I know I'm born a sinner. I'm living a sinner. I need to have a change in my life. And I know the devil knows the only one that can change my life is Jesus Christ. That's why Satan is keeping the world away from the cross. He's preaching everything but the cross. He's not preaching the blood of Christ. He's not preaching the suffering of Jesus Christ. He's not preaching the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knows that's the only way man can be saved. And he's trying to keep man away from everything concerning that cross that Jesus bare alone. And if Jesus bare the cross alone, I guarantee you, I know there's a cross for you. Listen to what it says. And thou hast sinned. That's where sin started. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, this is what it says. This is what it says. This is the Bible. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. God said, you are done. You are damned. Lucifer, you are damned forever. You are cast out, abominable branch. You are done. The only thing you can do now is violence. Only thing you can do now is sin. You can't stop sinning. Why? Because your eternal destiny is already being planned. Your eternal redemption is no such thing. You cannot redeem. You cannot be redeemed back to me. Your fallen angels cannot be redeemed back to me. Why? Because you are damned and you wasn't created as a human being. You was created as a created angel. I spoke you into existence. When I spoke you into existence, you appeared and I created you out of nothing. And now you have become a profane branch and you are cast out of the first heaven. And now you have power over the first and second heaven. We'll get into that a little later. Amen. I want you to come on down here with me and talk to me. I'm going to talk to you. Amen. Listen to what it says. I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covered cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart, listen to me what I'm saying. Listen to what the word says. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beautiful. Your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the king that they may behold thee. Let me tell you something. God said, I'm going to destroy you now. That destroy means not destroy that you become nothing no more. I'm going to destroy you with an everlasting destruction. I'm going to prepare hell for you. God said, I got a place for you, Lucifer. It's called Gehenna. I got a place for you where you are going to be burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never cease to go out of existence, never again. But you will be tormented in a lake of fire forever. This is what Satan's going. He knows he's going. He's been on this earth for 6,000 years. 6,000 years. He has caused havoc everywhere. From the Garden of Eden, he started it up. 4,000 years, he rampaged this world. 2,000 years, he's still rampaging. He is doing everything possibly to damn the human race. That's what he's doing. Now, he's trying to damn your soul. He's trying to get rid of you. He's trying to keep you from going to heaven. He don't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to go to hell with him. So when he does that, that means that he'll try every trick in the bike, every trick that he can think of to prevent you from recognizing, listen, that you are a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. That goes for me before I received Jesus Christ in my life. I was a low-down, rotten, stinking sinner. I was a sinner. I was born in a sinner and shaped in iniquity that my mother conceived me. I was born for the praises of God, but Satan said, I don't want you to praise God. I want you to praise me. I want you to worship me. I want you to go to hell with me. I want you to go because I can't go. I'm doomed forever. So come on and go with me, and I'll give you the world if you will worship me. And guess what? Guess what the world is doing? The world is worshiping Satan. The devil is under the influence of Satan. The devil is beating for people's souls today. The devil wants your soul. He wants your soul. He don't want nothing else but your soul. He knows that if he can get you away from the cross of Christ, that's what, I ain't talking about going to church, because going to church don't mean you're going to heaven. There's a lot of demons and devils going to church. The devil goes to church. The devil can pray. The devil can sing. The devil can shout. The devil can act religious. But that's not going to make it. The devil knows the only way that a man can enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You got to have a change of life. You got to repent from your low-down, dirty, rotten stuff you done in your life. You need to come home to Jesus Christ because time is winding up. Listen what he said. Listen what it said now. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. There's many of churches, many of sanctuaries, many of synagogues have been defiled by Lucifer. Every church that says their church is not the church. The church is what? The church is the body of Christ. Only way you cannot join it. You can't sign your name on the certificate. You cannot work for it. You cannot cry for it. You can't shout for it. You can't do nothing but do one thing, exactly what Jesus Christ said. Repent, repent, repent. And repent means to have a broken heart with a contrite spirit, to turn away from sin and recognize you have sinned against a holy God, and God is holy all the time. He ain't compromising. Repent or you shall likewise perish. So anybody that leaves this world without repenting and accepting Jesus Christ into their life is going to perish in hell with Lucifer, because no sin ever enter into the kingdom of God. No more. It's done. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Oh, he's a bright Luciferian. They believe in a lot of light, enlightenment. They call it all kinds of ways that you can reach God. But that's the damnation of deception that Satan is bringing. He said, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the king, and they may behold thee. The kings of the world. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. At the end of time, at the end of time, at the end of the tribulation period, when Christ comes back to this earth with the church, listen to me what I'm saying. He's coming back with the church. Satan will be bound by a mighty angel. Oh, he is bound. The world will look at this great cherubim that has fallen to nothing, and they will behold him. And they will behold him and say, is this the man that called to heaven, caused the earth to shake? Yes, this is Lucifer. This is the diabolical demon from heaven, fell from heaven through Luciferians, and now he's become the devil, the old dragon, and this is what he looked like. And let me tell you, he says, and they shall behold me. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire. Woo! I'm going to bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. Now, a lot of people read that, they think, oh, the devil's going to be annihilated. No, he's not. No, he's not going to be even cremated. He's going to be hell-nated. He's going to hell. He's going to burn for his deceitful rebellion in heaven. He's going to burn for deceiving man and cause them to fall. He's going to burn for all the commotions and killings and murdering that he have done upon the earth ever since he fell from heaven. He's going to burn forever. He's going to burn, and those that follow Satan will burn with him, and nobody is going to heaven unless they come to Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Why do you think Jesus came down here? He come down here to walk on the water? No. He come down here just to heal the sick? No. He come down here just to feed 5,000? No. He come down here to show that he was God? No. He come down here to give you a couple of parables and go back to heaven? No. He come to do one thing. If he wouldn't have done none of these things up on earth and went back to heaven, the whole human race would be damned for hell. But the one reason Jesus Christ came down to this earth from heaven, and this is the only earth that man was put on, number one reason why Jesus Christ come down here was to who, do what? To die for the sins of humanity. Die from Adam all the way down to 4,000 years. He died. He died for every human being on this planet. He died for them. He suffered for them. Crucified for them, whipped for them. He died a cruel death. Nobody ever died like Jesus. Nobody ever suffered like Jesus. Nobody ever cried like Jesus. Nobody ever even grunted like Jesus. Nobody ever did nothing like Jesus, because he was the Son of the living God. And Son of the living God in the Hebrew text, it means God in the flesh. So God himself became man. I say God himself humbled himself, took on the human nature, born of a virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Come on now. Come on now. And stayed on this earth for 33.5 years. And at the end of the 33.5 years, he went to Calvary's cross. And somebody had to pay for the sins of the world. Somebody had to pay for what? Paid from pride. Pride. Paid for degradation. Paid for adultery. Paid for lying, cheating, and backbiting. Paid for being born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Not my fault I was born in sin. It was the fault of Adam and Eve because they became subject to the devil. And when the devil deceived Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. And when sin came in the world, that means man was cut off from God. Man was on his own. Man was going to do his own thing. But God so loved the world, he said, I'm going to get my people. I'm going to get my, the ones that want me, the ones that adore me, the ones that repent of their sin and turn from the works of the devil and turn from the evil of violence and turn from every wicked thing that Satan put out, then I'm going to save them if they're willing to come to me. 19th verse. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. And again the word of the Lord said unto me, Son of man, set thy face against Gideon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus says the Lord God, I am against thee, O Gideon. Behold, I am against thee. I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgment in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and there shall be no more pricking and briars unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn, and all that are round about them despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. In the 28th chapter of this book, Ezekiel, we will find the authentic original Lucifer that was fell from heaven, came to earth. Now he is what? Let's see. Let's see who we're fighting against. We're fighting against the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Apostle Paul said, this is what we're fighting against. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith shall you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereinto with all preservation and supplication for all the saints. So the saints, those that are Christians today, is fighting against the prince power of the air, this old Luciferians. And this Luciferian is going to try to damn every soul on the planet. That's his job. Because he has no hope. The devil have no hope. And if you're without Christ, you don't have no hope. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have no hope for tomorrow. Only Jesus can bring you hope. Because Jesus has eternal life. It was Jesus that died for you. It was Jesus that suffered for you. It was Jesus that was spat upon. It was Jesus that was nailed with nails through his hands and feet. It was Jesus that pierced his side. It was Jesus that had a crown of thorns on his head. He did that for you. He paid the penalty for sin. You could not pay for your own sin. There was no angels that could pay for your sin. There was no patriarch that could pay for your sin. And you want to know who the patriarchs were that can't pay for your sin? Moses couldn't pay for your sins. Joshua couldn't pay for your sins. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea couldn't pay for your sin. No man on this planet can pay for your sin. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't cry your way to heaven. You can't shout your way to heaven. You can't do nothing but repent and turn to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he has power to save you to the utmost. He has power to change you from darkness into the marvelous light. He's got power to break that homosexual tendency. He got power to break that drug habit. He's got power to heal the sick, cast out devils in his name. He's got that kind of power, but you've got to submit yourself and let him know he can do it for you. So what we got? We got pride. That's where sin come from. Sin come from Lucifer. And now he's doomed. He's on his way to hell. And on his way to hell, he's trying to drag everybody he can. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're ugly or pretty. I don't care. I don't care nothing about it. What I'm concerned about is that you got a living soul. You got a soul that will never die. You got a soul that you have to make a decision. And your decision is, if I die tonight without Jesus Christ, I can be the best person in the world. I can be a good moral standard, upright, good American citizen, and do all the things morally good and still go to hell. I can be the prettiest thing that you can look at. But I can be the handsome thing you can look at. But if I die without Jesus Christ in my life and haven't repented of my sins and been baptized with the Holy Ghost, guess what? I'll die tonight and go to hell. But Jesus Christ said, no, 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 no. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell over a woman. Don't go to hell over your money. Don't go to hell over killing and murdering and raping. Don't go to hell over drugs. And folks are going to hell every day over foolishness. Why? Because they don't want to repent from sin. They love it. And that's what the devil loves. And the devil loves for you to sin against God. And what you're doing, you're damning yourself. Because the devil's already damned. And the Bible says you're not condemned. You're not condemned because you do things wrong. You're condemned because you won't believe on the Son of God. You won't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. Walk, talk, cry, got angry. He was a man. He was God man. He was God in man. Walking in a body like man, felt like man, cried like man. And suffer like no other man ever suffered in the whole orbit universe. Because he took past sins, present sins, and future sins, and it was nailed to the cross. They mutilated him. They crucified him. And they laid him in the grave. And on the third day morning, he got up as the first fruit of them that slept. No other man in history, no other angelic being in history, no other cherubim, seraphim in history ever became man like God did. Suffered and died, went down in the grave, set the captive free, got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven. No other man. And that's why Apostle Peter said, there is no other name given among men where men can be saved under heaven. And that name is Jesus Christ. And the world today has rejected the only begotten Son. And if you reject the only begotten Son, then hell will be your home. Motivation speeches ain't going to do it. Your money, your car, your Cadillac, your mansion that you're driving, your job ain't going to get you nowhere. Got to come to Jesus Christ. Your color, your skin ain't got nothing to do with salvation, because God made everybody. And everybody is not God's children. You got children of the devil, and you got the children of God. If you have not been born again, you're a child of the devil. If you have been born again, saved and sanctified, you are a child of God. God walks in you, talks in you through the Holy Spirit by the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that God could save you. God don't have no other way to save you. He can't. He can't find no other way. He cannot find another way to save you but by his blood. That's it. And the world can't receive it. They don't believe it until it's too late. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. You know where you're going. Some people live wicked beyond imagination. They think that when they die, they go to hell. No, you don't. If you die wicked, you have to pay for your wicked sins. You didn't let Jesus Christ pay for them. You didn't accept him. And by you not accepting him, then you got to pay for your own sin. If you want to pay for your own sin and enjoy sin, then when you die, you got to pay the punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you can't get eternal life until you come to Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that crap. I ain't got no time for that. Man, I'm living good, man. I got my women. I got my car. I got this. I got that. I'm going to take my drugs. I'm going to do my homosexuality. I'm going to do my lesbianism. I'm going to live the way I want to live. The heck with Jesus Christ. I don't need that turkey. Oh, you blasphemer. You're blaspheming his crucifixion. You're speaking against his crucifixion. You don't want to believe that you need a savior. You can't save yourself. Nobody else can't save you. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your theologian, whatever you got. Nobody can save you. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh, walked among men, seen by angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, coming back again with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Oh, he ain't coming. Oh, yes, he is coming. I know he's coming. I feel he's coming. In the word, I feel it in the spirit. I see the signs and the times and the signs and times we're living in. It ain't too much longer before the world is going to have to face what? The Antichrist. And I want to let you know right now, he's alive and he's waiting for a specific moment. If not this year, I'll tell you one thing. Next year, this 2023 is coming up, buddy. And let me tell you, Israel and the world is getting set up right now. Men are getting missiles and rockets and A-bombs and C-bombs, atomic bombs, neutron bombs. They're getting ready. Don't you know rich folks are building tunnels in the earth trying to hide from the one that sitteth in the cloud? He's going to try to run, and you can't know where to run, because everywhere you run, God is already there. Who are you fooling? This is what it says. In the book of Proverbs, it says, six things that the Lord hate. One is pride. A lying tongue. Liars. God hates. And hands that shed innocent blood. Lord, have mercy. What are these? These are baby killers. These are Satan worshipers. These are people who are aborting babies by the millions. They're killing babies by the millions. They're putting them in trash cans. They're doing scientific experiments on them. The devil is mad. He is mad as hell. And he said, I'm going to destroy every child, every baby that's born. I'm trying to get to it. But let me tell you, God is going to move his hand. He's moving his hand right now because America is suffering the punishment. And I feel bad for the people who went through the storm. And there's a storm can happen anywhere. But let me tell you, judgment of America, God is working with it now. Judgment starts at the household of God. The church is being judged right now. Preachers are being judged. Deacons are being judged. The so-called church is being judged. Anybody that calls the name of Jesus Christ, a so-called name of Jesus Christ, is being judged. And God is getting ready to judge America. Because America has come so corrupt. Because the devil said, I'm going to wreck America. I'm going to take the prayers out of school. I'm going to take them off the statue in Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell the people God is dead. I'm going to tell the people God ain't thinking about you. And tell the people that you don't have to worry about no holy Bible. You can take that Bible and throw it where you can. I don't care where you throw it. I don't want no Bible. Don't want nobody to teach my child about Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. America's going to pay for it. America's going to pay for it. Families are going to pay for it. Men that's living today having babies and don't have no idea that they got a responsibility and having more babies. People are living lusciously and living in corruption and living in degradation and living in iniquity is spitting at God and balling up their fists at God. You can do it all you want to, but there's a day coming God's going to cut both your hands off. He said, I'm going to wipe you from the face of the earth because I love you so much and I don't give you time and opportunity to come to me, but you won't come. So the time is coming when the day of reckoning is coming. The babies are being aborted today. Is barbaric. Barbarians. Animals don't even abort their babies unless they have to. But man has come so corrupt and so evil. Call good evil. Evil good. Loving pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of God, they ain't got no power. Having church parties and church orgies and church on the name of God. Woo! God said, I'm tired. I'm tired. I love you, but I'm tired. I've been giving man 6,000 years for past judgment, present judgment, and future judgment. And man is sticking up their head in the air. Ken, I don't care, but you know what. It's a sad story. Our youth are corrupt. Our families are broken up down to nothing. They ain't got no kind of lifestyle in Christ. Men killing men, women killing women, divorces and homosexuality rampaging through the land, and folks ain't seeing nothing. They think it's going to go on like this. They're still partying and pooping and doing everything they want to and putting God on the back burner. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood, God hates. A heart that devises wicked imagination. Men today are imagining anything beyond the holiness of God. Imagination of the thought is only evil continually. This is a repeat of Noah's day. In the days of Noah, the whole earth was corrupt and abominable. And Noah and his family got a call from God Almighty. God Almighty spoke to Noah and said, all flesh has come corrupt before me. I will absolutely destroy man from the face of earth. And out of the grace of God, Noah found grace. And God spoke to Noah without a cell phone. Spoke to Noah and said, Noah, build an ark out of gopher wood. Build it so many cubits high, so many cubits wide, so many cubits long, and I want you to make it out of gopher wood and pitch it with tar. I want it seal-proof. And Noah moved. Listen to what I'm saying. Moved and trembled before God Almighty. And he got busy. God said, I'll give you 120 years to rebuild this ark. And at the same time, I want you to preach the gospel of rain. I'm going to make it rain. I want you to build an ark. I want you to get your family. I want you to get your three sons and your three daughter-in-laws and your wife. And I want y'all to build that ark. And when you get through building, I want you to call all the animals on. I want you to call from the east, north, west. Come on, giraffe. Come on, elephant. Come on, baboon. Come on, monkey. Get on the boat. All seven clean animals. Unclean animals, two by two. And do you know something? Do you know something? The Spirit of God spoke to them animals, and them animals lined up on that ark, and every animal that God called on that ark, they got on it. They got on that ark. And at the same time, your earth and humanity was rebelling against Noah and ark. They couldn't do nothing. They couldn't tear it down. They didn't blow it up. They couldn't go. God was their protection. But God told Noah to preach the gospel of rain, gospel of salvation, and go out there and tell them to repent and come on free. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your proud look. Turn from your lying tongue. Turn from your innocent blood. Turn from your devised wicked imagination. Turn, let your feet not run to mischief. Turn from your false witness that speaketh lies, that soweth discord among the brethren. Anybody that causes discord and lying tongue and killing innocent blood, turn from it. And America and the world need to repent. The little small globe. 25,000 miles in circumference. 25,000 miles. That's a small terrestrial ball turning at 17.4 miles a second. With 7.1 billion people riding around in the universe in a small way. In the eyesight of God, it looked like a little marble moving, moving. And in the heavens of it, that's grasshoppers. We don't look like nothing. When God looks at us, we look like grasshoppers. We ain't no big shot. Ain't nobody over nobody. And yet man is so rebellious because he's got that same old proud spirit that come from heaven. Lucifer has come down here and tried to lift himself up through the human race. And guess what? They ain't going nowhere. My friends, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God himself, didn't have to come down here. He didn't have to come down. He could have let the world go on without a Savior and let people be born and die and go to hell. But see, Satan said, huh, if God is so powerful, why don't he save the whole world? Yeah, God is all powerful. He can save the world in a split second. How come he can't save it? He can't save it because people don't want to come to him. They don't want it. And one thing God is not going to do. He's not going to get a sledgehammer and pound salvation in you. Jesus Christ said, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. To the cross. Come on, man. Whosoever will, in the days of Noah, that wants to come on the ark, come on. Come on down. This is the way to salvation. The door is still open. And don't you know God has so much mercy in the days of Noah that he let the door stay open for 7 days. 7 days. People could have came on within those 7 days and got on the ark. Because at the 7th day, God sealed the ark. And only eight, oh, my God, and there was a lot of people on earth at that time. It wasn't no longer. I would say about 3 billion. I would say about 3 billion people at that time because they were multiplying and angels had came down from heaven. Fallen angels had started to cohabitate with the human race and they began to multiply giants. And these giants roamed the earth. And they were multiplying so fast that the multiplication, amen, there was billions of people that heard Noah. And Noah said, come on. They called Nephilim. Nephilim didn't come on. But there was people in amongst them that were not Nephilim. They were human beings. They would not come on. And guess what? God shut the door. And when he shut the door, he turned on the water faucet. He went down, angels went down and rerouted the subterranean pipeline. And water came up out of the earth. And water came down on the earth. And it rained, and it rained. It rained for 20 days. It rained 24/7 for 30 days. It rained for 39 days. It rained so much until the whole world, this little terrestrial ball, was covered with water. Everybody drowned. Everybody drowned that did not get on the ark. The only people that were saved for the repopulation of the earth was Noah, his three sons, and three daughter-in-laws. They were the only one who was saved. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came down here and stayed 33 years and a half. And he said, this is what Jesus said, not what I say. I ain't got nothing to say. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and the ark, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And in the days of Noah, the people said, what this rain? I ain't never seen no rain. And in the 21st century, people talk about, what you talk about Jesus Christ coming from heaven on a white horse and he's going to ride through the cloud? I ain't never seen that. Well, it's good. Woo, you don't want to see it if you ain't saved. But he's been talking about Jesus Christ been coming for the last 2,000 years. He ain't coming yet. But remember, God is a timely God. God is on time. God know what he's doing. He ain't never made a mistake. He ain't never stumbled over the circus of heaven. He ain't never said, I made a mistake. God is not like that. God is a spirit. And those that worship him, those that adore him, those that love him, those that, I could say, lost their mind over him, are going to see him and walk with him. Because when he come back, he's not going to be landing no manger. The three wise men ain't going to be there. They'll be there, but they won't be there in that form. They're going to see Jesus Christ come back from heaven on a white horse. Yeah! On a white horse. He's coming out of heaven. But he won't come until the seven-year tribulation is over. The seven-year tribulation is a covenant that God made with Israel that he would deal with them for 490 years. God said, I'm going to deal with y'all 490 years. And when he came riding through Jerusalem, listen to me what I'm saying. He comes riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. That was 483 years. And God himself cut the Jews off and then grafted the Gentiles into the church. And the church has been on this earth for 2,000 years. And the scripture says at the end of the church age, God is going to engraft the Jews back in because the Jews is not through with their mission. And it's going to take 7 years that the Jews are going to be on this earth, and they are going to have the greatest opportunity ever known to the human race. They're going to preach the gospel for 7 years. The church will be gone. When the church go, God is going to send 144,000 Jewish remnant. And they are going to preach for the first 3.5 years of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is when the Jews are going to preach what? They are going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. They're going to preach January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, 3.5 years. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In the middle of the tribulation period, after the temple has been built and the Antichrist turns his back on the Jewish people, and after he turns his back on the Jewish people, guess what's going to happen? He's going to desecrate the temple and remove the Ark of the Covenant and set up a statue inside the temple in Jerusalem and call himself God Almighty. And he's going to do a phony, fake, quack resurrection, because Satan knows if he can find a way to resurrect this dead man, the Antichrist, and bring him from the grave after 3 days and 3 nights. And that's what Lucifer is going to do in the middle of the tribulation period. In the middle of the tribulation period, Satan will be cast out of first, already cast out of first heaven. But now he's going to get ready to be cast out of the first and second heaven. He was in third heaven. But now he's in first and second heaven. He will be cast out of heaven to the earth. The devil is going to be cast out of heaven to the earth. That's why you see and hear about UFOs and aliens, which are not aliens. They're demons. They're flying saucers. They're vehicles that the devil has, and he's going to use these and cast them to the earth. I don't know how many, but I don't know how many demons going. Ooh, there's a lot of them. I don't know if it's 1 billion or 2 billion, but it's a lot of fallen angels, one-third of heaven, and there was a multitude of angels there, and now there's only two-thirds up there now, and the other third is going to come down here as demons and devils and cohorts and satyrs, wicked Nephilim. They're going to invade the earth. They're already making motion pictures and all kinds of horror pictures during Halloween. This Halloween, they're going to bring out the demons and devils, and they're going to worship these entities. And these entities will be able to do miracles and do all kinds of seances and tell you the future. These are demonic demons. UFOs are demonic demons. Period. And the Antichrist will be shot through the head and literally killed and lay in the morgue for 3 days. After the third day, Satan, in that concept, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, we see the fall of Satan out of first and second heaven. And out of first and second heaven, out of first and second heaven, we will read twelve chapter of Revelation. We will read exactly what it says. And that 12th verse. Praise God, here we go. Here it is. Listen to me very carefully. 12th chapter. Starting at their 7th verse. This is the middle of the tribulation period. The 12th chapter. 7th verse. This is where the Antichrist in the middle of tribulation, as I said, is going to be killed. And he will lay in the morgue for 3 days. He's going to do a fake, phony, satanic resurrection of Jesus Christ to deceive the world in believing that he is Christ. So let's see what's got to happen in heaven before this can be done. The 7th verse says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not, neither were their place found anymore in heaven. So he's not going to be in heaven in the middle of the tribulation. He's going to be cast out of heaven. So when he's cast out of heaven, let's see what he's called. And the great dragon, oh my God, was cast out, that old serpent, old sucker, older than dirt, called the devil, there you go, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that means the UFOs and the alien beings, or fallen angels, and Nephilim, and wicked spirits, and entities are going to be on this earth. God's going to give this earth over to Satan. At the same time, God is going to intervene in bringing salvation to the world through the Jewish people. The Jewish people will be preaching the first 3.5 years, and at the middle of the tribulation, Satan will come down here on earth and incarnate himself in the Antichrist. Hold on, let me get some more for you. It says, and he was cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying, in heaven, this is in heaven now, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them both our God before our God day and night. And they overcame him, good God Almighty, out of Zion. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they were willing enough to die for Christ in the tribulation period by being beheaded. They said, take me to the guillotine. I'll go for the cause of Christ. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down into you, having great wrath. He's mad. He's mad. I'm going to say it. He's mad as hell. Woo! Because he knoweth that he has but a short time. This is the last part of the 3.5 years. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. He's going after Israel now. He's got to try to get rid of Israel. He can't do it. And the woman which brought forth the man child. That's Israel that brought forth the man child, Jesus Christ. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she flies into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times 2 years, and a half a time, a half a year. That's 3.5 years in the latter part of the tribulation period from the face of the serpent. Now, this is what you call the final big miracle that the devil's going to do, is to resurrect this Antichrist. And when this Antichrist is resurrected, he will consider himself as being God Almighty, resurrecting himself. But see, the Antichrist didn't resurrect himself. It was the devil that resurrected the Antichrist, but God resurrected his own self. That's the difference between the resurrection. The resurrection was about the blood. The resurrection of the devil is about worship. Worship me. And the only way that the world is going to see fit to worship him is because he's going to bring out a executive order that every man, boy, and girl receive a mark on their right hand or in their forehead, or either they will not be able to buy or sell. This is what the Antichrist is going to do in the middle of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is the latter part in which the 144,000 will have fulfilled their missions, and through their preaching, they will have a great multitude that was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb during the first part of the tribulation period. And after they are done with their work, they are going to be caught up and redeemed from the earth and meet the Lord on Zion Hill. That's heaven. And then, after they get through with their mission, God is going to bring two men, two prophets, two Old Testament prophets that's going to be able to stand in the streets of Jerusalem and preach the gospel for 3.5 years in the latter part of the tribulation. Where do you find that at, Brother Bazaar? I find that in the 11th chapter of Revelation, 11th chapter. It says, there was given unto me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple God and the altar, and them that worship. This is the rebuilding of the temple. This is rebuilding of the temple. But the court which is without the temple, lead out. Measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days or 60 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not for the days of their prophecy, and have power to turn water to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will. All right, who are these two prophets? What prophets in the Old Testament had power to shut up heaven? And what prophet in the Old Testament had power to turn water to blood and bring plagues up on the earth? As I search the scriptures down through the years over and over again, I can't come up with two men. And the two men are Moses and Elijah. Because there's no other men in the Bible that had that kind of power to prophesy that it would not rain for 3.5 days, but Elijah. And there's only one man in the Old Testament that had power enough to turn water to blood and to what? Bring plagues up on the earth, and that was Moses. So these two men will prophesy in the latter part of the 3.5 years, and then the end shall come. Why? Because the world, will have heard the gospel of the kingdom for 7 years. 7 years of preaching. 144,000 and the two witnesses will have 7 years to preach the world upside down, to let the world know this Christ is Christ, the Son of God, Elohim, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, King of Kings, Emmanuel. This is the one that's getting ready to come and judge the world on a white horse, and the saints of God will be with him, because the rapture of the church happens 7 years before this happened at the end of the tribulation period. So where we at? We in almost in 2023. 2023 is the third day. The Lord said, I will bring you back into the land of Israel. The third day, 3,000 years. 3,000 years. The third day is the millennium reign. God said, I'm going to bring you back into the rightful place. Talking to Israel. Because Israel will become the head of all the nations of the world. Israel was the nation that God chose to be what? An example to the only one true living God, the God of the universe, the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Over 365 names in the Bible that describes who God is. And Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub only have 35 names. Whose side are you on? Who are you going to trust? Who you going to lean on? Who you going to believe in? Nobody. You ought to believe on nobody but Jesus Christ. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not the bishop. Nobody but Jesus Christ. You shall lay your hope on him, because on Christ's solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In the book of Revelation, I'm going to show you the 13th chapter, gives you the assassination of this Antichrist. He exists today. He's alive. He'll be 55 years old. January the 30th, he'll be 55 years old. 55 years old. Woo! That's a good number there, boy. 55 years old. And here, in the middle of the tribulation, that the 13th chapter, we see here what's getting ready to happen. I'm going to read 13 down to, down to the sixth verse. It says, I stood up on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is the European common market, one world order. And up on his horn, 10 horns, 10 crowns, authority. And up on his head, the name blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, swift, his feet like a bird, vicious, and the mouth of a lion, a great authority. And the dragon, the devil, gave him his power. The devil gave his Antichrist power and his seat and a great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worship the dragon. All right. That third verse says, and I saw one of his head as it was wounded to death. He's assassination. That's the assassination of the Antichrist. Right there. And his deadly wound was healed. In other words, he was resurrected. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worship the dragon, which gave power into the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast? This is the final act of Satan, the dragon. The devil has come to his and his creation. He's come to the last draw. This last draw is trying to deceive the whole world. Well, he's going to deceive the world, majority of the world. Listen to me what I'm saying now. The majority of the world will be deceived. Most folks will go to hell. Most folks. Not all. But most folks will go to hell. because there were some folks saved in the Old Testament time. There's folks saved in the New Testament time. There's folks going to be saved in the what? The tribulation time. There's going to be some folks saved in the millennium time. But majority of the world today will be lost because they refuse to humble themselves and bow down at the foot of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They refuse to believe that he died for their sins. They refuse to say that he is Lord, he is Savior, he is God all by himself. And confess with their mouth that God raised himself from the dead. God raised himself, his son. Jesus Christ said, I am a father of one. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. You seen the Father, you seen me, you seen the Father. He said, I am the way. No man can get to the Father but by me. You got to come to me. You got to come down on your knees and confess my name before my Father's name. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I'll come into your life. You repent of your low-down, dirty, rotten, conniving sins, your loose living, your adultery, your cussing, and your drunkenness, and your sin. The only way you can get rid of it and blot it out is through the blood of Jesus Christ. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Nobody gets to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Can't go by Baptist, can't go by Jehovah's Witness, can't go by Islam, can't go by no name on the planet. You get to heaven by, because let me tell you something. Salvation is not really a religion. Salvation is a relationship with who? Jesus Christ. When you meet Jesus Christ, you know God right then and there. Why? Because he is the Savior. God is our Savior. And the only way God could save us is to send his son. He packed up his belongings in heaven and said, if you prepare me a body, I'll go down. Yeah, go way down to a lost, dying world. He's in the clutches of Satan, and Satan thinks he's winning, but he loses all along, because the Bible said, if you go to hell, it won't be God's fault, because God done made a way. And if God done made a way and you reject that way, then you got to make your own way. And your way is death, hell, and the grave. And since Jesus died, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Now is the time. Revelation gives you a picture of the 7-year tribulation that starts at the 4th chapter of Revelation. The 4th chapter to the 19th chapter, it covers the period of 7 years. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back with the church, with every born-again believer washed, baptized, blood. Redemption power will be with Jesus Christ on white horses, dressed in white raiment, coming with the Son of God, coming with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's coming in power and in great glory. And that will close the whole plan that Satan had to try to overthrow God Almighty. The only one that will lose is those that reject the mercy, the goodness, the long-suffering, the love, the forgiveness of sin. They refuse. Say, I don't want to be forgiven. Well, you won't have to pay. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay for your own sins. And I'm not talking to get a buck. I'm not talking to make myself famous. I'm not talking just to be talking. I'm talking about your soul. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Hell is too hot. And if you go to hell, the only reason you're going, you got to pay for your own sin. If you were willing enough to pay, let Christ forget about Christ, you got to pay. Justice will prevail. Mercy is calling your name down. Mercy is pleading with your soul. Mercy is saying, come on. That world ain't got nothing to offer you but misery and agony. Jesus Christ is our only hope. It's my only hope. I don't have no other hope but Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact, if G.E. Bazaar, George Bazaar, accepted Jesus Christ to escape hell, you're going to have to accept him too if you expect to escape hell. Because there's only one sin that you can go to hell for. One sin. One. Just one. What's that? The only sin you can go to hell for is unbelief. Because if you die without getting your sins forgiven, then you got to pay for your own sins. But when Christ paid for them, he paid for your sins eternally. So you're no longer under the law. You're under grace and truth. And Jesus Christ proved it. The thief on the cross said, remember me? Jesus looked at him with a love beyond degree. From this day on, you shall be with me in paradise. And the other thieves mocked him. He went to hell. The rich man died without repenting, went to hell. He died because he didn't believe God. He didn't love God. He resented God. And so he resented the poor man Lazarus. And the man, the Bible says, the rich man died. And before he died, he said he lifted up his eyes in hell. The devil angels came and got his soul and snapped him into hell. And Abraham, when Lazarus died, the angel of the Lord came and took him into Abraham's bosom. So where you going to go tonight? Where you want to go? You want to go downtown and walk the streets? You want to go to the beer joint? You want to go to you want to go to the dance party? You want to go to a strip tea joint? You want to go down there where they got a little drug? You want to go down there where they're living at? You want to hang around your buddies and everything? Where you want to go? That's where you want to go. Well, if you want to go there, you go there. You got a choice to go. And you got a choice to go to heaven. But you say, I ain't worried about that right now. I don't need that. I'm going to have my other choice. Well, you made the choice. And the choice was, I'll take the devil. He got too much going on. I live with the devil. God ain't got nothing for me. Oh, you're a sadly mistake. You got God got something for you that the devil can't give you. And the devil cannot give you eternal life. What the devil can give you is eternal death. Death, spiritual death, cut off from God forever, never to see him, never to enjoy the blessing, never see nothing but pain and agony and fire and brimstone and crying and wailing and gnashing. That's all you're going to get. And you got it because you wanted it. You rejected the Son of Man. Don't go to hell, brothers. Don't go. Listen, brother, I'm telling you, don't go. It's too hard. It's too hard. It's too long. It's forever. You can't change your mind. You can't shake nobody's hand. You can't swim. You can't eat. You can't drink. You can't laugh no more. Five things you can take the hell with you. Five things guaranteed to take the hell with you. You can take your eyesight because you won't be able to see. You can take your eyesight. You can take your smell because you won't smell it. Sin stinks. Sin is nasty, cruddy. Nasty, nasty, nasty. You can taste hell. Bad taste. Eyesight, memory. You got your memory, you got your eyesight, you got your smell, you got your taste, you got your hearing. It ain't going to be no rapping. Ain't going to be no tapping. Ain't going to be no having, laughing, and joking. It ain't going to be nothing but wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I ain't hear nobody yet saying they're going to walk to hell, because when you see hell, you ain't going to want to walk. The angel's going to have to pick you up and throw you into the pit. Oh, that sounds rude. That sounds rude. But look what you did. Look what you've done against God. You spit in his face, so you only go get what you deserve. You did not accept his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus wants your soul. He don't want your money. He don't want your family, your fancy talking. He don't want your education. He wants your soul. You need to come to Christ tonight. Quit putting it off. You keep on putting it off. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow or not. You might wake up, whoo, don't want to see it. I hope you don't. But you could wake up in the morning in hell. You don't know if you're going to make it through the night. There's no guarantee. The only guarantee you got is when you come to Christ. And I guarantee you, heaven is going to be your home. Washed in his blood, confessing with your mouth, believing with your heart that God Almighty raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead out of the grave. Bust hell wide open. The devil said, oh, man, I done lost. But he got the world believing that he's winning. The devil lost. You know when he lost? He really lost. Well, he lost when he fell from heaven, but he really lost when Christ got up from the dead. He lost a lot of souls because Jesus Christ has been saving, 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 saving souls. Once and for all. That great salvation once delivered it to the saints. That salvation that saved you forever. Never be lost again. Ain't no lost and found salvation. Where people get that from? Got it from the devil. Because the devil can't take your soul. If you fill with the Holy Ghost and you sanctify, the devil can't come in there. He can't come up in there. He can only mess with that old flesh. He can tear that flesh up. But that's why you got to arm yourself. Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because the devil is seeking and roaring like a lion who he made to buy. Put your whole helmet on. Charge your feet in the preparation of the gospel. Come on, look here. I'm a warrior fighting for souls, fighting for somebody to come to Jesus Christ in these last and evil days. Because we ain't got too much time. And you think 1 year is a long time, look why this year went by. It's almost gone. But I thank God I'm still on the battlefield. And I'm asking the Lord to give me strength to go another year. Let me go another year. And I'll be satisfied to tell somebody that Jesus Christ can save anybody that want to be saved. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Watchman on the Wall. I'll be celebrating my 57th anniversary of preaching the gospel next month. I thank God I'm still on the battlefield, going to stay on the battlefield. I thank God I'll be 78 November the 7th, 2022. I'll be 78 years old. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brought me from a mighty long way through seen and unseen things, holding up the bloodstained banner, talking, walking, living what Christ want me to live with. He want me to live with him. Said, tell somebody he can save anybody that want to be saved. God is good to you. You should continue to listen. Get your friends. If you got a friend, listen to the radio. Just listen. I mean, if you don't want to listen, just listen anyway. Amen. Amen. Because ain't nothing else worth listening to but the Bible, the Word, the Gospel. Ain't nothing else on this planet. Ain't nothing else that you really can enjoy but the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for saving my little old puny soul, my little old spirit. Christ saved me. Save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. All the prophets of foreknowledge, all the prophets talked about this over 6,000 years, 4,000 years. The apostle talked about it. Men that come out of prison talked about it. Men, people have been down in the dungeon of hell itself, talk about it. I said, I've been delivered from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ, the crucified one. Oh, they crucified him too. They beat him. They nailed him. They ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They spat on him. If you be the Son of God, come down. Come down off the cross. He said, no. In the spirit world, Jesus talked to himself, said, I can't come down. I can't come down. What held him up there? Love. Love held him up there. And I thank God that he loved you so much. And he loved you so much. Why don't you just give your heart to the Lord tonight? You ain't going to miss nothing. If you go to hell, you're going to miss heaven. If you go to heaven, you ain't going to miss nothing in hell. But you'll be able to live with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never. Never have a grumbling or a storm or a sickness or death. No more. It's all gone. It's done. The devil's been defeated and all his foes. And those that's laughing now, those that's cracking jokes, those that deny the Bible, those that deny Jesus Christ, those that say, ha, 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 I ain't worried about that, but those that miss heaven is going to be crying with no tears. Crying in pain and agony. Crying because the devil made a fool out of them. And that's what the devil's doing, making fools out of people and believing that God is a nobody. But God is everything. He's my love. He's my joy. He's my bread. He's my water. He's my, woo, hallelujah. I've got something that the devil knows I got it. He's afraid of the word of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight. This is Brother Bazaar from Warren, Ohio. This is Brother Bazaar going down there in what? Atlanta, Georgia. Block Talk Radio. Ready for Brother Timothy. He'll probably be on with me on Sundays, 5 o'clock. I'll be on Sunday 5 to 7. I want you to know, y'all continue to pray for me, those that really interested in the word of God, not me. If you're interested in the word of God, I got something for you in the word of God. Not, I ain't making this up. I'm telling you the truth. But I've got to stand before God one day. One day I got to stand before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when I go to bed tonight, I'm going in peace. And I'm going in peace of mind because I know I'm telling you the word of God. Go to the cross. In the spirit of your mind, put your mind right on there. See him hanging there. He's not hanging now, but he hung for six long hours, and he took him off the cross. He's not on the cross now. He's sitting on the right-hand side of the cross. But go back and picture him hanging up there with no face, face disfigured, blood streaming down, crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hand, pierced side, twisted muscles out of joint, bones out of joint. And he said, Father, forgive them, Lord, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And God forgave. Woo! God forgave himself because if he didn't, the whole world would have been destroyed. He could have called 72,000 angels down. He said, no, y'all stay there. Stay there. I got to do this. God bless y'all out there. Love every one of you. Y'all continue to pray for me, those that's listening. This is Elder Bazaar. Don't look back. It's later than you think it is. Jesus Christ, I lay my life on the line. I lay everything I got on the line. I'm telling you the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Keep the faith. Look up to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of faith, who joyfully, joyfully went to the cross. Oh, oh, save my soul, save my soul. And he did it. He can save yours too. Apostle Paul said, 10:29 of Romans, say, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Repent with godly sorrow. Turn from your wickedness, and the Lord will come in. This is Brother Bazaar. Thank you for being attentive. Look for me Sunday evening at 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I'll be preaching Watchman on the Wall, End Time, Global Link Ministry. God bless you. God smile on you. See you next time. In Jesus' name, amen.